Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's bring in Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. Good morning, Chip. How are you?
Good morning, Florida week.
Yes.
What's happening, guys?
Oh, man. we were just saying how excited we are about it. And how was your weekend? Did you get a chance to catch your breath a little bit?
Well, a little bit. Had a sad family weekend, had a funeral and all that.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
So it was, but it was fine. Yeah, it was good to not have to travel or cover any games on a late Saturday night or anything like that. But, a lot of energy going into this week, man. It's a big game in Jacksonville, and I've been sitting here poring over research this morning, looking into the series, trying to answer those questions that all those fans are asking me, like, no way we lose this game, right? the anxiety is palpable heading into this game, and so I'm right now I'm trying to research, how many times has Georgia really kind of blown it in this game, and it hasn't been that many really. So,
I
hope that's easing.
Over the last 25 years, they haven't had that many chances. I mean, that's the thing. I think I heard Jeff say that before Spurrier took over, Georgia led the series like 44-22, and now it's 50-43 or something like that. I mean, it has been – I know the Georgia had a three-game winning streak, Florida three-game winning streak. I think it's 6-4 Florida over the last 10 years, so it's not lopsided over the last decade. But I guess for longtime Georgia fans – it still kind of feels that way a little bit. And this is one of those weeks where there's like two prevailing, fan bases for Georgia, the fan bases that are cautiously optimistic and the ones that are like, oh, this Florida team's terrible. This Georgia team's great. Georgia should win this game easily. Is that kind of how you're kind of seeing this week playing up to the game as well?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Look, you got to look at these things kind of cold and sterile. And the fact of the matter is this year, Florida's not a very good team. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And there's a lot of reasons for that. The primary one being, they got 9 players suspended.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. And look, those guys aren't coming back. And that's probably the biggest question. I get it. They're going to bring those guys back, aren't they? They're going to bring all those guys back. They're going to bring Callaway back. But they're not. Those guys haven't practiced. Even if they did decide to bring them back this week, those guys haven't practiced, 9-10 weeks or whatever. So they're not going to play. And, it's kind of a typical Florida team of what we've seen in recent years in that, they got a pretty good defense. They got a salty defense. And they can play some tough D. And they've struggled on offense. And, Georgia's a better team. It's not even close. I mean, if you just look at it again from cold, sterile statistic standpoints, in virtually all the important categories, you've got Georgia ranked very, very high and Florida ranked very, very low. Things like scoring offense and total offense and, really scoring defense and rushing defense and all those kind of things. So it's not fancy. I can hear Danzler now. I mean, you got to run the football. And you got to stop the run, and if you can do that, you're going to be in pretty good shape. They haven't done that the past couple of years. Florida has been the tough, physical, rushing team the last few years, and so you got to make sure you're the team that dominates that particular area of the football game. And if you do, you're going to win.
Chip, I'm one of these people that is definitely on board with Kirby Smart's message of you can't, each game is its own experience and you can't let what happened the week before, the year before, or years before affect how you prepare and how you get ready for a game like this. And just taking this season into account, You look at what Florida is averaging. You look at what Florida has done. I know Georgia is coming off a game where they allowed some very deep touchdown passes, but Missouri is set up to take the top off of a defense like that. It doesn't feel like Florida is, particularly with an Antonio Callaway out. So, I mean, is there any reason to think just on paper that Georgia shouldn't go in this game?
No, there's not. And, you know, there's also the psychological or motivational aspect of it as well, you know. And, I mean, Georgia's got everything in the world to play for, right? I mean, they got everything in the world, you know, at their disposal, and they got to just take care of business. And this is a team that you're better than. I think they might have opened as a 2-touchdown favorite, biggest margin in this series in maybe, you know, 20, 30 years or something like that. There's every reason for Georgia to win this game. And I think the biggest one is probably those seniors, guys. I mean, I think that's kind of gotten to be a big deal on this team. The Nick Chubbs, the Sony Michels. I mean, I really sense from Nick Chubb, you know, all these games that they've lost last year and the last couple of years, you know, this is why they came back. And losing to Florida 3 straight years is a big reason those guys wanted to come back. Sony Michels from South Florida, he didn't want to lose to these guys again. Nick Chubb has not had great games against Florida. He wants to have a good game against them. Carter and Bellamy have kind of been personally responsible for some of the problems that Georgia's had against Florida the past couple of years. I mean, yeah, when they ran the ball, they were running it straight at those outside linebackers because the book on them was these guys are good at pass rushing, but they're not all that great against the run. They're not tough and physical. And those guys are coming in here this week saying, yeah, we are. You know, we're different now. And that's what's got to happen. You know, all that's got to happen. But unless Georgia just really, gags and spits this one up, they should win.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. Georgia, Florida coming up Saturday at 3:30. So what's your week looking like as far as when you head down and all that good stuff? And what do you got in the works for game preparation?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this week. You know, there's a lot going on. At some point I do want to touch on, you know, Carla Green-Williams leaving for Virginia. And the timing's kind of bad because I think that's a big deal. I mean, not to change the subject here or anything, but I do think it's a big deal for Georgia athletics in general, her leaving. And it's going to get kind of lost in the middle because, I mean, I understand, you know, Georgia fans, they want to talk about Georgia, Florida right now. But I'll get down there Thursday. Sometimes I go down as early as Wednesday. I'm getting down there Thursday. You're actually closing on a new house on Thursday. Great timing on my part. But, so I got to go to a closing, and then I hit the road, and I'm going to stay on Amelia this year. I go around and do different ways. I've stayed in Jacksonville the past couple of years. I've stayed in St. Simons many times. I'm gonna pop down to Amelia this year and kind of check out the scene down there. That's gotten to be kind of, you know, as Frat Beach has kind of taken over as St. Simons, Amelia Island has kind of picked up, I guess, for guys like me. You know, the older set are starting to trickle a little further south down there on the islands. And we got a lot of good stuff in store, Seth and I both. And like I said, I'm examining this series right now. You know, there's been times where both teams, I mean, going all the way back, Dave, you and I can remember 1985, and that's probably a cautionary tale on the flip side.
Yep.
You know, Florida was ranked number one and undefeated, and Georgia went down there and just tore them a new one, 24-3. And so there's a lot of times like that. And then there's times that Georgia, you know, certainly 2002 is one that we remember. 1992 is one that people probably don't remember as Georgia being the favored team in 1992, and they lost it. But it's like you said a while ago, or Sam said, that, you know, I mean, players, it's fans that think about all those other years. Players aren't thinking about that, and they're eyeing this as nothing but the Gators being in their way to where they got to get for a championship. And I certainly think that Kirby's got them in the right frame of mind heading into this one.
Yeah, and 85, that was my very first Georgia-Florida game, and that's a great
Mine
example.
Too.
How about that?
So hey.
That's, and like you said, a caution, because you know the Florida fans that week were like, oh, we got this thing, no problem at all. Number one in the country, it's going to be an easy win. And like you said, the Dogs went down there and absolutely dominated them with that great rushing performance. Like you said, 92 was another one where you know, Georgia used Garrison Hurst as a decoy, 14 carries, 41 yards, and ended up losing that game. And then I guess it was the next year, it was the other way around, where Florida was the big favorite, and Zaire and who was the tight end from
Shannon Mitchell.
Thank you. Yes.
That was the monsoon.
That was the monsoon that Florida got the tie. I'll say this. I was standing in the end zone. Florida was definitely calling for the timeout. I don't know if they actually got it, but they were calling for the timeout before the ball was snapped, whether the official was able to see it and register it in time. But, you know, that was a controversial end there, too, like you said, in the monsoon. I mean, there have been some just crazy, crazy games down there, and I guess that's why, you know, Sam is a younger fan, me as an older fan, I'm a lot more cautious about this 14-point. And the Dogs were a 10-point favorite, what, 2-3 years ago,
yeah,
and ended up losing. So it's just, you just don't know with this game. But this, I will say this, Chip, this team does, I mean, this Georgia team does feel different, you know, if there's something to be said for that.
It does, and it's also the makeup of the team, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, generally, you know, if you're, you know, an offensive juggernaut, you can have a bad day, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But defense generally is, you know, shows up every week, you know. And like you said, Missouri, I mean, you give up a couple of deep ones like that. And look, I expect Florida to try to attack Georgia that way. I mean, they got nothing to lose. I mean, these guys down there,
yep,
look, they're worried about getting bowl eligible. They would like nothing better than to trip up Georgia and all that. And I really think that's going to play in Georgia's hands a little bit, you know. I mean, because I think they're really going to, you know, do everything they can, throw deep, you know, double reverse passes, whatever it takes. They got nothing to lose at this point. But, yeah, I mean, Georgia's defense has been solid, if not great. Their special teams have been great, if not solid. All that's Florida has struggled in the special teams area, and obviously they've struggled dramatically in the offensive area. And they haven't been, you know, great, you know, when it comes to defense. They've been good, but not great. I mean, they're giving up, I think they're eighth in the league against the rush. I mean, you can run the football on these guys, and they haven't been the pass defending juggernaut like they usually are. They've given up a lot in the passing game as well. So, yeah, I just think Georgia, as long as they take care of business and don't get stupid, you should be able to win this football game. And I think they're supremely motivated, especially with that senior leadership, and that they should win this football game.
Chip, a lot of analysts and talking heads, when they're talking about football, they talk about balance and how important balance is. But when you look at this game, Florida's strength, probably above anything else, is their secondary. You know, they keep churning out these great players that go on to the NFL, you know, in terms of being safeties or cornerbacks. So do you see Georgia going in here and really just trying to say, forget balance, we're just going to run the ball down their throat? Because that seems like it would be the game plan that you would want in terms of not making Jake Fromm throw against a decent secondary too much.
I mean, I think generally that's always, you know, Kirby Smart's game plan. I mean, you're going to try to run the ball. You're going to try to prove at the beginning that you're more physical and you're tougher. And if that works well at the beginning, you stick with it. And if it doesn't, then you start looking to air it out a little bit. I mean, that's always going to be the case here, and that's probably going to be the case against Florida, I would think. I think, you know, certainly there's a lot more confidence for Georgia from a passing game standpoint right now. You know, I think Missouri helped that generally. And, I think Georgia can throw the ball on them. They're good. You know, they have great corners and safeties. I think they might have had another injury there. You know, correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I think they might have had another injury in the secondary recently. But, you know, they've got 6 interceptions this year. That's less than a lot of teams in the league. Alabama's got 10. South Carolina's got 6. A&M's got 7. You know, Georgia and Vanderbilt each have 5. So, you know, they're not really running away with it this year. And I think I think actually, I think they're pretty vulnerable on defense, honestly.
Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. Have you been peppered with questions about when South Carolina kickoff is going to be? I mean,
I have, yeah. We haven't. You know, that'll come out today, won't it?
I guess. Yeah, I mean, unless there's like that 6-day hold, I guess. We should find out today. All the rules about the networks and all that stuff, I don't know all those. So I'm always just like, just tell me when the game is, and then we'll all know at the same time. But it is kind of funny that we've had a lot of questions about that. By the way, I was going to mention something that Sam was asking about balance. With offenses, though, wouldn't you agree it's like balance is kind of an arbitrary definition for each team? If Georgia runs the ball 50 times and throws it 15 times, that's the kind of balance that they would like to have. And
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's Georgia's balance. It's not 40-40 or 35-35. If Georgia's running it 50 times and throwing it 15 times, if there aren't turnovers and goofy plays, that's a great thing for Georgia. That's the kind of balance that the Dogs would want to have.
Well, and that's the kind of the balance that Georgia's achieving this year. I think one of the real under-radar things about the job that Jake Fromm is doing as quarterback is his yards per attempt number. I think it might be like 9 points, something like that, which is in the top five in America. So it's kind of like Georgia Tech. You know, Georgia Tech runs football option all the time. So when they throw it, you know, a lot of times you got a wide receiver running alone deep down the field. So you end up, you know, averaging, you know, 25 yards of completion or something. Georgia's not doing quite like that, but he's been very good, at completing not just deep passes, but big balls. I need to break down his completion percentage on third down. Jake's been really good, in third down situations in the have-to-have-it department, and he's doing really, really well. So, yeah, that's Georgia's idea of balance is running the football 30 times and passing it 15 or what have you. But completing big balls when you do that.
By the way, on the injury front, are we looking for hopefully Trenton Thompson to be good to go? Sounds like it. And also maybe getting Reggie Carter back. I mean, just do nothing but bolster the defense, I suppose.
Yeah, that's not a small deal. Reggie Carter is one of those kind of guys. It's kind of, you know, I mean, he doesn't really – he doesn't have star power anymore, but that guy's played a whole lot of football and really knows what he's doing. And I mean, he was a regular in the rotation with Natress Patrick, alternating over there and a little bit now and then with Roquan Smith. And so with both, you know, Reggie and Natress out, Natress will not be back. He'll be suspended again here. You know, I think that's a big deal. Now, Monty Rice has played really, really well in his absence, but Juwan Taylor as well. But I think Reggie Carter is a cut above. He's going to be back, and I think I mentioned this last week. But Coach Smart's going to play coy with all the injury things, it's a wait and see on Trent Thompson. But watching him skip off the field after the Missouri win kind of told me all I needed to know. He was smiling and skipping and moving around, and he's been able to practice this past week, so I think for sure we'll see Trent Thompson. I think that's a big deal. I think Georgia's missed him a little bit. I think that's hurt him a little bit in terms of getting pressure on the passer, not having him in there, though. Tyler Clark has played terrific, and Mikael Carter as well. But getting him back, you know, will make a big difference for that defensive front for sure.
Before we let you go, you mentioned Carla, and I wanted to say this too. She was Carla Green at the time. She was the first radio partner I ever had. We called the Lady Dogs together back in 1989 when I was still at the student station. And you and I have both known Carla forever. She is just a great, great, great person, outstanding person. Couldn't be happier for her to get this Virginia job. She's going to do great up there. I know she kind of gets beat up on the message boards, and, it's understandable. It's kind of part of the price of that job that she has and ADs have and deputy ADs and all that kind of stuff. But you had mentioned earlier about the timing of this, and you wanted to kind of throw out a couple of things about Carla. What does that mean now for Georgia? Because that's I mean, she wore a lot of different hats over at the Athletic Association. So what does that mean for Georgia?
Yeah, she did, and you're right, Dave. I mean, it's one of those, I don't think people realize, you know, just how much, you know, she did. I mean, she wore a lot of hats. She filled in a lot of gaps for Georgia, and that's not going to be easy to replace. And you know, first and foremost, I mean, I think it's a diversity loss. I mean, you know, a lot of people figured that Carla would probably succeed Greg McGarrity, and I think there's a good chance that would have happened had she stayed around. But the fact of the matter, she's been a hot commodity for a long time, and you know, Virginia, obviously the first you know, female black athletic director in Power Five conference, and that's a big deal. And if it wouldn't have been there, she talked to Clemson several years ago, a couple of years ago. She's every year, she's just kind of one of those hot commodities. It's like having a great coach on your staff. You know somebody's going to hire them away, and that's what happened here with Carla. But it's a diversity hit for Georgia. Georgia, I mean, I don't believe is represented as well as they should be from that standpoint in their senior administration in athletics, and that's hard to fix real fast. And obviously, she's the number two person, and she's gone now. So we'll be watching closely to see, you know, Georgia, see how Georgia handles that going forward. But yeah, I mean, I Greg McGarrity said it in his statement that he released that you know, he was really happy about this, and people like to try to put different kind of spins on it and all that. There is no spin on this other than she was a great employee and a great person, Dr. Carla Greene Williams.
That's right.
And it hurts to lose her, but you're happy for her because she's such a good person. You know, kind of quiet, did her work in the background, but she did a lot of work, and she, you know, was pulling a lot of levers behind the scenes. And Georgia's going to have to work hard to find somebody who can you know, handle the load that she was handling.
Chip, thanks so much. Our condolences to you and your family. Safe travels to Jacksonville. Good luck on the closing on Thursday. And anything else I'm leaving out, good luck with all that, too. Thanks so much, and we'll catch you again next Monday.
You got it. Looking forward to talking about that victory right on the other side.
There you go.
There you go. Thanks, Chip. All right, Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.